This morning, our scripture lesson is from Luke 11, 1 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I know last week you guys talked about rest stop, right? For Mary. Today, we are talking about the inward journey. Throughout the summer, our summer series have been journeying with God. Talked about various of things that happens and when we take journeys. Last week's rest stop, this week is the inward journey. So what I was supposed to talk about was prayer, which Reverend Mary, our senior pastor, did a fantastic job at the 8:30 service, and it was streamed. So I want you to go watch it. Really, please do. Because if you don't know anything about prayer, if you had questions about prayer, she will have answers for you in that sermon. For me, we're going to take a detour. Because I went to Sakahatchee, and I want to share my experience at Sakahatchee. To start with. So we went to Newberry. We came back home Friday midnight. For the whole week, we worked on the housing. We put up the ceilings. Both of the places had their bathrooms leaking, so we took out the floors, put in new toilets, new sinks, redid the whole pipe underneath the house. And man, all of our youth worked really, really hard. And there are pictures on Facebook that you can go look at, and you will see what I mean when I say this. But please, take your time to do that. But one of the things I found that was a blessing for me is, this was my second year going, it was talking with the homeowner. That's always been what I found to be very insightful. This homeowner, she worked day and night. She had around 3-ish to 4. She had a little break. But from 8:30 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, she will work. And then from 4 afternoon to I think midnight or 1 or 2, she will work and come back home. And she's not young. She's around her 60s, I think. But she cleans houses. And it's not, she doesn't do hospice care, but sort of the in-house nurse as well in the daytime. You know, and we will see her come, and she looked as exhausted as we were when she came home. And so I asked her one day, man, how do you do it? How do you wake up in the morning? How do you have the motivation? And she gave me the most realest answer anyone can give. She said, well, somebody has to pay the bills. Because it was just her and her grandchild who was waiting for a heart transplant. But she said, jokes aside, I pray to God to give me the strength to get me through. And I trust God with the rest. And I just push forward. During Sakahatcha, I gave a devotional. About how prayer empowers us, motivates us in our journey. How God's word gives us strength for the journey to come. And I shared a word from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 29 to 32. And this is a weird verse. So you guys have to sort of, if you guys are all putting about this, then it was. But this is the word that God gave me. And it was this. It's not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. See, therefore, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words from one another. See, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their own tongues and say, says the Lord, see, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, says the Lord, and who tells them, and who leads my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or appoint them, so they do not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Now, I share this because when I think about Sakahatcha, I think about hammers. And here in this particular verse, Jeremiah describes God's word as hammer. Now, what do hammers do? Hammers destroy, right? It can destroy old walls. We destroyed a whole staircase or stairway and the railings through using a hammer. You know, it breaks things down. But hammers to do what? Build things up. You can use the hammer to build it. And here in our text, Jeremiah says God's word is like a hammer. Now, the backdrop, the context of this verse is that Jeremiah addressed various injustices of his time. But the central theme was the mistreatment of vulnerable people and corruption of leaders. He criticized the people of Judah for failing to care for the orphans and the widows and the poor, while also condemning the powerful for exploiting the weak. He specifically called out kings for building lavish places, lavish palaces through forced labor and for oppressing the poor. And these prophets, They were the worst, these false prophets. They looked, they saw that, and they said, that's God. You're doing a good job. God wanted that. That's exactly what God wanted. Even though they were committing all sorts of wickedness, the false prophets encouraged it. Justified their wickedness by saying, that is God. And this is how they did it. Look how much you guys are prospering. Look how rich and powerful you guys are. Surely God must have blessed you. Surely you're doing something right for you to be in those positions. See, God is happy. And that's what the false prophets told these people. And to keep doing the wickedness, keep exploiting people, keep taking care of the poor. And the worst part was that they were the powerful and all these worldly, all these other places, and sorry, my mic is going off. But Michael, can I get they looked upon all of those poor people, all of those orphans, all of those widows, all of those that they exploited. They judged them by their circumstances. They said, look, God is punishing them because they're doing something wrong. They're poor because they did something wrong. They're a widow. They're orphans because God do not like the unrighteous and the sinners. And if you were not with the powerful or the rich, they were the ones who were the sinners. But the word of the Lord, Jeremiah says, is like a hammer. It breaks through all of the lies that were told by the false prophets, and we see it in our New Testament Gospels. Because who is the word of the Lord? You remember John? The word became flesh. So who's the word? Jesus. Jesus came. And guess what? Was he with the powerful? Was he with the rich? Was he with those teachers of the law who knew the Bible back and forth? No. Who did he eat with? The sinners. Who did he have hearts for? Who did he encourage people to love? The orphans, the widows, the poor. If we believe that Jesus is God, and if what the false prophets were saying was true, that God were condemning those poor, those weak, those orphans, those widows, and God was just punishing them because they did something wrong. If that was true, and if we believe that Jesus is God, then Jesus would have never had anything to do with those people. Jesus would have punished them. Jesus would have abandoned them. Jesus would have never interacted with those people if these false prophets were true. But it wasn't. Actually, it was the opposite, right? Jesus was for the sinners, for the oppressed, for the poor, for the weak. This is how the false prophets were using God to lead them astray. And so the word of God came in flesh, showed us that that was not
Right. And you guys already know my story, but I'll share it with you anyways, because this is all I have. Came to the States when I was 7. Didn't know any English at all. Was trying to fit in, and it was hard. And gradually, daily, I was noticed for being different, for looking different. I was judged by my own circumstances, by other people. Got to a point where I couldn't fit with the Koreans because I wasn't Korean enough, and I couldn't fit with my American friends because I wasn't American enough. I didn't belong anywhere. And I kept spiraling downward to a point where I got to a point where I just felt like I was not a person that could be loved. Nobody wanted me. Nobody cared for me. And I remember waking up one morning asking myself, why did I even wake up? What is the purpose? What is the point? Because all of these words that was said about me in the world and how people judged me made me feel that way. And I woke up one morning and I couldn't breathe. I went to the ER and found out I had a collapsed lung. Happened to skinny tall people randomly. And I remember waking up after the surgery and I had all of my friends there. And I cried. I didn't cry out of joy. I cried because I was so angry. Because you see, I went to church. I went to every Bible study. I went to every retreat because somebody told me that God loves me. And when I opened my eyes and I saw those kids looking at me, feeling sorry for me, I was angry. Because none of those kids went to church. None of them read the Bible like I did. None of the people prayed like I did. But they were so well off doing their own things while I was in the bed. It just didn't make sense to me, right? How come I was faithful to God and I'm being punished? Because it felt like a punishment. And so I told myself, I'm not going to believe in this thing anymore. You know, God is not real. It's over. Because everyone else is happy without believing God. And I'm here suffering. So why should I? And my pastor came and he shared with me a word. He said, he shared the word about Jacob wrestling with God. And in wrestling with God, God says, look, it's getting late. Let me go. I have to go. But Jacob doesn't let God go. Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And so God blesses Jacob. And what my pastor said at that time was, I wish that you would do the same. When he left, I thought to myself, I realized there was no one who could save me. I mean, I had people who really did care for me, who really did love me, but I was so warped that I felt like they didn't love me. They just had pity on me. They just felt sorry for me. They didn't love me for who I am or what I am. They loved me because they felt like they had to. That's how warped I was. And so no one could tell me anything, show me anything, and save me from this hole. And so that night, I prayed to God, fine. Because you're the only one, if you exist, you're the only one who could save me. So save me. I will give everything I have. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just Help me not to feel this way anymore. Help me not to feel empty, lonely, unloved. Take this away, and I'll do whatever you tell me to. Few years passed. I kept going to church. I kept going to Bible studies. And one day, you know, United Methodist, we have new pastors every time you turn around. And we get a new pastor, Pastor Mion. She invites, it was an ordinary communion, first Sunday. She invites us up, and she said this. In the United Methodist Church, we practice open table, which means that everyone, no matter who you are invited because Jesus wants everyone to be with him, to break bread with him. And when I heard that, I don't know, I must have heard it so many times, but when I heard that on that day, I realized something. Even though I don't belong anywhere, there's a being that wants me to be at that table. There is a person who loves me and who cares for me. And no matter who I am, no matter what I am, Jesus wants me to be with him on this table. And if I belong with God, who created all the earth, what more affirmation do I need from anybody at that point? If I belong with God, what more belonging do I need to have? I'm looking at my time. I know I'm going a little bit over. But when I realized that, it was like waters rushing in, breaking all the things that hindered me, all of the insecurities, all of the walls that kept me from feeling this way. Everything just sort of broke. And all of the words that was in this Bible that says I am a child of God, that says I am loved and always have been loved, that I have been created in the image of God, that I am a citizen of heaven. All of the words of God, like hammer, breaking down all of my lies that was been told by all of the people around me, all of the world that says I don't belong and I'm not supposed to be here and I don't and I am different. All of that just broke through. And I share all of this because I want you to know, no matter what the circumstances you're going through, your circumstances don't define you. What defines you is the Word of God. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. I know there are hard, hard days where you feel like you are absolutely helpless and no one is listening. But the Bible says that you're not alone. And I know I'm not alone. And I know I am loved because the Bible tells me so. And it is the same with you. I share all of this because in prayer, I took my inward journey and was shaped by asking, searching, and knocking. And it wasn't that I changed God's mind and gave me everything that I asked for, but that God changed my mind so that I would receive what I needed most in my life, which was Himself through the Holy Spirit. Like the scripture we read promises, giving myself to God's will by living the life that Jesus wills for us to live in love of God and with all people, living as children not of a U.S. or Korea, but of heaven, and to spend rest of my life inviting people to sit at the table of Jesus Christ, to be in relationship with them and to invite others to be in relationship with them. That is what I have been called to do, and I believe that is what we all have been called to do and be. I'll end with this. One of the youth shared their devotion, and it stuck with me. I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. And the youth said this: faith doesn't make things easier. It makes things possible. May your faith help you in your journey. And no matter how difficult it gets, I want you to know that your faith makes everything possible. Prayer does not change things. Prayer changes people, who changes things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.